Welcome to the Butts and Seats Podcast, special WrestleMania 41 edition.
Woo-woo!
Yes, a non-canon episode, non-numbered.
I feel like we should number this. Or maybe because we're not numbering it, we should both take a shot?
No, we did a bet.
No.
We did a bet.
Take a shot with me.
No, I made the one. I guess we're going to start with that. We did a prediction shot bet. Emily lost.
Yeah, it was really just, like, who do we think is going to win each match? We were pretty neck and neck. I only lost by 2 points.
Yeah, you got 9 of the 14. I got 11 of the 14.
Yeah.
Well, Emily, you have a lemon drop next year.
I do. I'm actually excited to have a lemon drop. Okay. I've been asking for this for a while.
And she didn't finish it.
I can never take that shot. It's a little strong.
So with that shot down, yeah, today we're here to talk about WrestleMania 41. You know, might be a quick chat. Who knows how long it'll be. I think I'm required by law to say that.
Yeah, and every time you say that, it ends up being a 2.5 hour episode.
Well, it's just more matches than anything else, but I think we've taken the least amount of notes as we usually do for this.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have the cool experience we had from last year of being in person. We weren't as enthralled by the matches this year. Like, we didn't hate the show.
Yeah.
Putting that out there. Did not hate the show by any stretch of the imagination. We're just not as hyped for it as we were last year.
Yeah, I think everyone kind of agrees the build for this. It was kind of eh, and it was just too long.
It was, yeah. It was eh. Definitely eh.
Well, or was it eh, eh?
Oh
eh.
My god, I fucking hate that fucking song. The song that is like Fiend, whatever. Is it a Travis Scott song? It has to be a Travis Scott song. Fuck that song. If I never hear that song again, I'll be thrilled. Otto also hates that song. Every time it would come on, Nick and I would kind of sing along to it because we're very much in the if you don't laugh, you'll cry sort of mentality of like, fuck it, we're just going to sing along and pretend that everything's fine. So we're just kind of singing along. Ee, ee, ee. And every time we do it, Otto
he's staring
you
down.
Mm-hmm, he's staring at me now. It's a terrible, terrible song.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible.
So I think it was like a 7-week build from Elimination Chamber to WrestleMania.
Okay.
Backlash is in 3 weeks.
Yeah, what are they going to do at Backlash?
To have Randy lose? I don't know.
Yeah, but even this one, the one main event match for the Cena-Rhodes match, that didn't feel important. Even though there was this big moment at Elimination Chamber, it didn't feel impactful.
Yeah, I think we can talk about that more.
When we get match to match, yeah.
Yeah. So WrestleMania 41, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, although I guess might be technically Paradise, Nevada.
It's on the Strip.
Which is
it?
In Paradise.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's on the Vegas Strip.
In Allegiant Stadium, right?
Yes, Allegiant Stadium. It's no Caesar's parking lot, but it'll do.
No, there has been a smattering of WrestleMania 9 content for Emily to enjoy.
Yes, I have been loving it. If you guys want my full thoughts on the documentary, because yes, of course we watched Creating a Spectacle, Becoming a Spectacle, what was it called?
I don't remember.
It's something, a spectacle. It's the documentary, the behind the scenes making of WrestleMania 9. I loved it. I thought that was a great documentary. Nick was underwhelmed, but fuck, it was a great documentary.
So, Emily, I regret to inform you that despite all the sponsor money being thrown around at WrestleMania this year, we did not get any.
We didn't get...
No.
We didn't get... We didn't get...
don't actually fucking say the brand
we
names.
We didn't get... I should get...
Bleep all these.
There were so many. It was... I remember last year all of the whole internet being a little concerned about what that Prime logo in the middle of the ring would do for, like, the look of WrestleMania. And I remember us being like, oh, okay, this isn't that bad. This year, it actually bothered me. Well, like, not even the ring mat, not even the turnbuckles. Everything was branded. Everything had Xfinity Wi-Fi's booming. Like, I don't care.
It was a slippery slope starting with family drama brought to you by Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
See, I loved that. When they can do something stupid and funny with it like that, then I think that's great.
Your main event is brought to you by fucking Drumstick.
Oh my god. Yeah. None of these advertisers made any sense. Like, it was aggressively capitalist.
Except for one that commentary had too much fun with.
Dude Wipes?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Dude Wipes should be a sponsor every time. Like, the Wheatley Vodka being a sponsor. That makes sense. Slim Jim should absolutely be a sponsor because of the history it has.
I think Snickers is like the main sponsor again for every year the main sponsor.
Snickers makes sense. But it was aggressively capitalistic to the point, like, we pay for Peacock with ads. We were already getting commercials, but we were getting commercials within the shit that we were not, like, that we were paying for.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if I was happy or sad about that, because I'm like, okay, well, I'm not paying to not have ads, so I can only complain so much.
Yeah.
But if I was paying to not have ads, I'd still have the ads, so it's like...
It's inescapable.
The one downside of not paying for the Premium Plus, or whatever the fuck it is we miss all the video packages.
Yeah, we did miss every video package. I'm wondering if we can go back and, like, rewatch it.
I think when they post it as actual WrestleMania and not watch the replay.
No, yeah, that's what I think, too.
But let's get into night one, because we didn't do SmackDown. We didn't do Stand and Deliver. Carmelo Hayes won the armbar.
Yeah, we meant to watch the SmackDown episode on Friday. But we were recording our Patreon episode, and it went very long, so we missed SmackDown.
And then we tried to watch it. It, like, wasn't on Hulu. It wasn't on the USA app. I'm like, where the fuck is this thing?
We could not find a way to rewatch it.
And speaking of ads, we watched the main event segment. It was a 15-minute file, I think, with 8 ad breaks.
Oh, my God! I understand why people pay for the no-ad tier, but I will never pay for that. That's so expensive to just not be inundated with advertisements.
We have another record gate, attendance, ads.
Oh my God.
It's great. But yeah, let's do night one. I guess technically before the show, because it's like 90 seconds before, we got God Bless America by one of your favorites, Jelly Roll.
I love Jelly Roll. Okay, so it was technically before the broadcast started?
Yes.
So I was watching some, I can't remember which YouTube channel it is, that was like everything that happened on WrestleMania night one. And they noted in that...
I think it's Cultaholic. I think
it is Cultaholic.
I think I watched the same one. And they're like, no.
No, like, one's saying America the Beautiful. That's so weird for us, man. I'm like, did they just cut it out? This guy is British. Did they cut it out in the international broadcast? Like,
the anthem the next day was also pre, so I don't know.
Well, I'm not sad about anybody missing that one.
Admittedly, Jelly Roll was not at his best here.
No, I love Jelly Roll. He did not sound good. America the Beautiful is not in his vocal range. And he could have modulated the key, but he didn't. And I can't blame him. I'm not, like, upset. Those classic America songs are so hard to sing and hard to sing well. The Star Spangled Banner is so difficult to sing.
You would know.
Solo, it's even more difficult. I got to sing it with a group, but solo, it's very hard.
So actual WrestleMania starts with a very slow outdoor shot. Michael Cole welcomes us, and we get one of my least favorite things about WWE in 2025. Emily, did you know that people are here?
What?
Did you know the people who were advertised to be here are here?
You're telling me that the wrestlers who are on the show that we just paid to see, they're here? They're here to do the show that we're paying to see?
Yeah, we can't start show at the start time. We gotta show these guys for fucking like 5-10 minutes.
No way.
After that, we get the opening package. The actual one package we got. We can get Triple H welcoming us, opening pyro, and... like, the first thing we get is a fucking anime DJ. I'm like, what the fuck
was this?
I'm aware it's for a game. I'm not giving... they didn't pay us. I'm not fucking...
I don't know what game, and even if I did know what game, I'm not fucking playing
it. It was the one on the center of the mat.
Oh, I don't remember what it was called.
But I was like, oh, it's this big entrance for Jey Uso, because our first match is Jey Uso versus Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, so they have this whole big thing on the top of the ramp. They've got the DJ, they've got the dancers coming around. This looks like a great entrance point for Jey.
No, he comes in through the crowd.
He comes in through the crowd! It is the first match of WrestleMania, and he doesn't even come down the ramp! That, I don't know why that bothered me so much, but it really bothered me.
The Shield did it in one of the
years. He's not the Shield!
We were recording this before Raw. And he seemed fine the next day, but it was like, did Jey hurt himself during his entrance? Because this match starts slow and weird, and he's clearly favoring his arm through a lot of this match.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his spear is already not great, but
oh my
God,
his spear is terrible.
I think we owe Edge an apology if we're going to allow this spear to go around.
And I think it's even more damning that Jey has a spear this week when people, like, Roman Reigns and Braun Breaker are on the current roster. Like, I'm not even talking about Edge. Edge is not with us right now. There are guys who are going to have matches later tonight and tomorrow that have better spears than you. It just highlights how bad that move is for you.
It's 2015. A member of the Anoa'i family laughs through the pain while fighting a vaguely Nazi-esque looking man while getting a push that many people don't think they deserve. It's 2025. A member of the Anoa'i family is fighting a vaguely Nazi... Yeah.
Yeah.
And Roman Reigns in a triple threat match in the main event with Seth Rollins. So yeah, we're not going to do the full breakdown on all this. We're pretty much going to jump pretty much on thoughts and then straight to the finish. Mm-hmm. And yeah, obviously we are not Jey Uso people. Mm-hmm. I know. Like, look, the entrance is hype. I'm not a Yeet guy. I'm also not a fucking no Yeet guy because that's fucking stupid.
I think people just like to be able to say words. It's the same thing with LA Knight. They like to say yeah. They like Ric Flair because they like to say woo. If you give somebody an activity, they're going to like to do the activity.
I feel like we learned the wrong lesson, or not we, well, some of us, but from the yes movement of them going like, well, Danny Bryan's not over yeses. And I'm like, this one kind of feels like
Yeet is over. Yeah. Not Jey. I just don't get the Jey hype.
Yeah, he has yet to put on a singles match that impressed me.
You and I argue about how I didn't understand the Roman hype. Like, I didn't think Roman was worthy of his push. I didn't like him very much as a wrestler. I have grown to, like, appreciate him. But you and I have gotten into arguments where you're like, you haven't watched him enough. Like, you haven't seen his good stuff. I've watched a lot of Jey at this point, and he's not a good wrestler. He's very much not a good singles wrestler. I think he was fine as a tag team. But as a singles wrestler, he's getting a push as a singles person, and it's just not there. So when the ending of this match came around, and Gunther, who I think of as, like, really fucking good and, like, powerful and big and has aura, as the kids say, when he taps out in, like, 3 seconds, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
And it should be noted, don't know why, the crowd is dead to the first half of this fucking show.
Yeah, I would like to collect some apologies from you motherfuckers. We're like, oh, the crowd at WrestleMania 40 sucks. Bitch.
It was cold.
It was cold, first of all. We weren't that quiet, second of all. This crowd was worse, third of all. Give me some apologies.
At least with us, it made noise. It was an outdoor stadium, so it went straight up. So there that you might go. Have,
yeah.
But yeah, this was just kind of a weird finish and, like,
weird start to the show.
Yeah, the reason you do this is to pop the crowd and have a hot start, and it just wasn't.
It just wasn't. But everybody got to do their whole little Yeet thing. Everyone's excited to say Yeet.
Yeah.
I am of the opinion that Yeet fucking sucks. Yeet was funny when it first happened, and then you, like, destroyed it.
The weird thing is, and maybe just because it went on first, I feel like this match happened, and then it was completely, like, inconsequential for anything else throughout.
It was, yeah.
Anything else, like, throughout the rest of the shows.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool, new champion, what
it
else?
It was almost like, get this out of the way.
Yeah.
Like, we know this is going to happen, just get it over with, and then we can move on to the actual show. It kind of felt pre-showy, but if it didn't have the belt, well, I mean.
This next match has pre-show vibes. It is, It is the Heel New Day versus the War Raiders.
Okay, this sucks because I love Heel New Day.
I loved them when they were doing stuff 2 months ago, yeah. And then they just stopped doing stuff with them. Or everything they were doing was on the weird bits of Raw that, like, we can't watch in the U.S. or,
oh, yeah.
Or, like, only if you have the ad-free tier. Again, it's like,
again, ad-free, yeah. No, this, you're right, this did very much have pre-show energy.
And I think not to help that is we talk about how, like, oh, the pre-show, like, just half hour fucking talking, and then, like,
it's
like
3 hours of talking.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, it was, okay, there'll be some matches scattered in between here. Mm-hmm. This match starts 53 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
And Jey and Gunther did not go over 20 minutes.
No, I thought they went over 20, but you pulled up the actual times.
Yeah. You and, I think, Wade Barrett were convinced that New Day came out in Giant, yes, Gonzalez cosplay.
And the fact that Wade Barrett says it means that somebody was in his ear saying, mention the Giant Gonzalez. So, the New Day came out in bodysuits that were admittedly blue. They were like Avatar blue. But it was the bodysuit a la Giant Gonzalez from WrestleMania 9 with the, you know, the spray-painted abs and the furry hand and ankle cuffs and, like, the waistband. It was Giant Gonzalez. And I tweeted before Wade Barrett said anything, like, this is giving me Giant Gonzalez vibes. And you were like, no, no, no. This is an anime thing for sure. I was like, I don't know, man. We're in Vegas. And then Wade Barrett, my boy, is like, yep, that's WrestleMania 9. I was fucking hype.
Standard match. Apparently, Xavier Woods was like 0-7 at WrestleMania going to this. I'm like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Finish, New Day cheats, somewhat, like, wasn't anything crazy. It was like, all right, the tag partner holds down the foot at ringside. Yeah. Like, Not the most dastardly.
No, it's kind of standard for what they've been doing.
There was a far more dastardly finish in a match on night two.
Yeah, it was really standard. It was really nothing special, and it was disappointing.
Like, I get the New Day have the, you know, have the seniority, but the fact that the SmackDown tag division's like, all right, TLC match on SmackDown next week. It's like,
right,
do it on Mania. What are you doing?
Right. This show absolutely needed a TLC match. But yeah, New Day win.
Yep, new Yay. Champions.
New champs. Two matches in. Underwhelmed.
And our next match, I feel like we're going to
zoom through night one.
Yeah, I wanted to have higher hopes for this, but Naomi's been doing good character work. But our next match is Jade Cargill versus Naomi. And it's the like first ever not like real one-on-one match.
This
not for a title with women.
So I hated this. This is the first women's one-on-one match, not for a title, without any stipulation.
I love the, you have to put with no stipulation, which makes it sound like, oh, maybe there was like a submission match.
No.
No, it's just like, hey, it's the one that's actually a wrestling match and not...
It's not a bra and panties match. It's not a ball gown match. It's not a mud wrestling match. It's not a, you know, bark like a dog match. I don't know. Fucking wrestling is toxic for women. And I hate that this WrestleMania 41 is the first time that we get a match for women for no title just because.
Emily, if it makes you feel any better, Bark Like a Dog was a segment, not a match.
It doesn't make me feel better.
You did get hyped for Jade's entrance, though.
Oh my god, Jim Cantore! So Jade comes out, her whole thing is like she's kind of like Storm from X-Men. So she's very much the Jade Cargill Storm or whatever. So to announce her, we cut to Jim Cantore of the Weather Channel. And nobody knows who the fuck Jim Cantore is unless you're crazy like me and obsess over weather. Jim Cantore is a meteorologist on the Weather Channel who is infamous for only showing up at weather scenes for hurricanes that are going to be bad. Like, he doesn't show up for your Cat 1s, Cat 2s. He's there for the Katrinas. He's there for the Helenes. He's there Cat 4 and up. If Jim Cantore comes to your neighborhood, you need to fucking evacuate. If he is on TV in your neighborhood and you're there, you're dying. You're done. Sorry. You're losing all your possessions. Sorry. So when he came out to announce Jade, I'm like, oh, we're making her a big deal. She's like a big Category 5 hurricane. Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
And then Naomi had her what I deemed Orlando Jordan gear. Ugh. All the caution tape.
I actually forgot about that segment with Orlando until you pointed it out. I'm like, oh, fuck. That does really ruin this gear, doesn't it?
Well, he also appeared in WrestleMania 21 that you just mm-hmm. watched. And I was like, it's Orlando Jordan. You're like, what?
Yeah, I forgot he was in WWE.
So this is another, like, mostly standard match. There's a couple cool spots. Like, the dive being caught, like, almost horizontal mm-hmm. turned into a suplex. It was, like, a really cool power spot from Jade.
Yeah, Jade has really cool power spots.
But the problem is, like, that's kind of all she has. She's still very green outside
She's
of that.
She's very stiff, yeah.
And I'm like, you've been wrestling for a while at this point. Like,
yeah, because she didn't come into the WWE from, like, MMA or anything, or, like, bodybuilding. She was from AEW.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't claim green.
But they kind of had her doing the Goldberg thing, where it was mostly like, all right, quicker matches, not mm-hmm. the super drawn out. And it's a really messy finish where I couldn't tell if, like, Naomi got, like, shoot concussed there for a second.
Oh.
I mean, she was just fine about it later that night or like the next day or whatever. Because like Jade hits like a powerbomb kind of move and like goes for a pin and the referee has to be like, nope, like here's your shoulder up because you're kind of out of it. And then Jade hits Jaded for the win and it's like, oh.
Oh, I missed the ref checking like get her shoulder up.
Yeah, he firmly is like, no, we're not doing the pin here. I don't know, but like.
Yeah, I don't know. I was actually thinking that Naomi looked better in this match than I've seen her recently. Like, I don't think of Naomi as a good wrestler. I'm sorry. But she looked good here.
I think part of that is, what was the last match you saw for Naomi where she actually had the opportunity to be a good wrestler?
That's the thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Apparently she was great in TNA. I've not watched any of it, but.
That'd be cool.
Apparently her and Jordan Grace doing some fun stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, this was predictable. It was, yes. Oh, yeah.
The pin did feel like it came really fast. Like, when Jade went into that, like, bend back, lick the finger, whatever, it looked like they jumped to that really quickly. So maybe something did happen.
Yeah, three matches in. Not feeling...
Not excited.
The most Mania-esque.
No, and we were still very much holding out hope. We're like, all right, it'll get better.
And I had more faith in our next match than you did. It was it is LA Knight versus Jacob Fatu for the U.S. title.
I don't know what it is. The Bloodline B team. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Solo, Jacob, Tama Tonga is hot. But like, other than that, what's he bringing to the table? I don't care.
Wow. From a Tongaloa.
I did forget about Tongaloa. He's How hurt many right of them now. Are there?
There's four.
Jesus.
LA Knight comes out and like for a minute I thought like, oh, they're doing the sound meter thing again. And it literally like the graphic jumped from like 55 to 75. Like it clipped and just skipped the animation to do it. And I went, what the fuck is this? And then it's like, oh, it's overheating. I'm like, oh, it's just a fake thing.
It's an ad. Yeah. It's just a graphic. That arena could have been silent and that would have been like, oh, it's overheating.
Yeah. So the crowd has been shit so far. Cause I'm like, yeah, they're not that loud anyway. But then he does his LA Knight yeah thing. It's the loudest they've been all night.
Yeah, so they are capable. It kind of did like highlight how quiet they were. Because you can't, when it's that loud at once, you can't really blame it on, oh, the sound is going up. Like, they can be loud.
Yes. LA Knight also entered via Maserati.
Yes, very fancy Maserati.
This was a pretty decent match. The crowd actually did kind of start getting a little into this one.
Yeah, unfortunately, I kind of got out of this one. I phased this one out a little bit. I think I was kind of underwhelmed by the first three, then I was just like, kind of lost interest.
LA Knight trying to do like a Randy Orton kind of like catch out of the air into like his BFT thing. I'm like, it doesn't really work with how your move has to go. But
yeah.
But Jacob Fatu has his kind of version of the prettiest moonsault ever.
He does. In fact, I even called it when he went up. I was like, prettiest moonsault ever.
He said he skips the one rope. Yeah. But I think it has been confirmed so many times that it's like, hey, you know how everyone was worried that he was going to end up looking better than Solo Sikoa and really overshadow him? Yeah.
Yeah. I will say that. Like, he does absolutely have a better moveset and look better in the ring than Solo Sikoa. I don't know why they chose Solo to be the one to push.
Because Solo is the Usos' brother.
So?
Well, that was just the original plan. He had the history.
Yeah, but then they brought in these other three guys. I don't know how many there are. That have some are better than him. Like, we can switch it out.
Yeah, I mean, you're telling the story.
Yeah, I guess.
I think they're clearly headed to that now. I mean, because Solo's only mention here was he showed up at the entrance for Jacob Fatu.
Mm.
And Emily, who shows up during the celebration for Jacob Fatu?
Meng. Haku, Meng, whatever. A guy that you don't want just to appear out of nowhere ringside.
I like to think that he was not told that he could hop over the apron. He just did. He just did and then went.
And security was like, yeah, don't fuck with that guy.
If someone is going to pick up the mantle of the terrifying Samoan man from Meng, it's going to be Jacob Fatu.
Yeah, 100%.
Because the stuff they were saying about him being in prison is legit.
Yeah.
That's why he wasn't signed for a while.
I know he wanted to be the bad man, but Rikishi was never the bad man. Sorry.
No. But Emily, he had bad jewels. He shot that kid in the mouth, according to the song.
According to the song, that's what I'm thinking.
I enjoyed this one the most of the first four matches, but...
The bar's low.
Yeah, that was a low bar. I feel like, really enough, I got more out of Jacob Fatu being crowned here than I did Jay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, though, bar is low. Like, of the two, I guess I like Jacob better than Jay. I don't know. I feel like they just keep pushing Jay because he's marketable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Yeet is on all of the fucking merchandise.
Let's move on to a match that had a last-minute change, because we have El Grande Americano versus Rey, but which Rey?
So, Rey Mysterio injured himself on SmackDown.
Tore his groin.
Ugh. So he needed to have a last-minute sub in for his match events against El Grande Americano. So Rey Fénix stepped up.
Should have been Chad Gable.
That would have been amazing. Oh my God, can you imagine?
They're going to do that at some point where they book it where it's like, all right, fine.
You think I'm this guy? Put me in a match against him.
No, it'll be the opposite of the authority. Be like, well, fine, next week you're going to go one-on-one with him. And it's like, oh, shit. And it's going to be some sort of scheme.
And it'll be great.
But yeah, Rey got hurt, so Rey is here.
Yeah.
And
Rey for Rey.
To the point where, for a minute, I thought this was a work.
Oh, yeah. Because you couldn't find the spot in the match from SmackDown where he got injured.
No, I think it just happened, like, randomly off camera. But, no, the fact that they brought in Rey Fénix, like, 3 weeks before Mania just kind of seemed weird.
I think that was just lucky timing.
Well, my point being is, like, like you bring him in right after WrestleMania. Like, what was the point of the extra week?
Yeah, like a Raw after Mania debut. That would make more sense. But, I mean, I feel like we got lucky here. Not that I would not have loved to have seen Rey Mysterio. I end up really enjoying Rey Fénix.
Yeah. Now, El Grande Americano. His entrance is great. I love him. And I say this with love. This is such a fucking Disney World gimmick.
What do you mean?
It's built for kids to go, no, it's Chad Gable.
No, it's not. This is a whole different guy. Why do people keep thinking that it's Chad?
Like, the fact that he doesn't even hide the mannerisms. I'm like, it's such a live Disney show gimmick.
Nick, if it was Chad Gable, why would he be speaking Spanish? Chad Gable clearly says thank you. This guy says gracias.
One of those laughed way too hard during Rey Fénix's entrance where he unmasks to reveal a mask.
Yeah, I love that. I'm easy to pop.
And this match was good. This match had energy, really, which good. Is funny because by definition, this match has the least build of anything on the card.
100%. It has less than 24-hour build.
And yeah, it's that good technical catch-as-catch-can style mixed with the high flyer. It's Kurt Angle Rey Mysterio. It's just what it is.
It's not catch-as-catch-can.
Except, I never saw Kurt Angle hit a fucking 450 moonsault senton or whatever the fuck that was. That was
cool,
great.
Though. Yeah. I don't know what it was, but it was pretty fucking cool.
Like, it was a pop of confusion. Everyone was like,
whoa, what was that?
Whoa, that was cool. What the fuck?
Wait, hold on. What are we watching? Where am I?
And it's because also it's hit by the guy who's not Rey Fénix. And I'm like,
who's not the trained luchador. Not that El Grande Americano does not have a strong background. I'm sure he does. We just acquired AAA. I'm sure he came from those worlds, you know.
Oh, yeah. That does not really impact us at all. So I noted for the end of the match. But, WWE bought AAA. We'll see what...
Luchas.
We'll see what that ends up looking like. Technically, TKO bought it. But, yada, yada.
I love a lucha.
So, finish the match. El Grande Americano has, like, a little, like, metal plate he's been, like, putting inside the mask.
Yeah, I don't know what the plate is, but he, like, slides it in through his eye hole and puts it in his forehead.
Yeah, it's just meant to be something hard to hit its opponent with.
It's the cookie sheet.
Yeah. He wins via plate shenanigans, and El Grande Americano wins.
Gracias!
He is 1-0 at WrestleMania.
I love it. More of him. Let's up the streak. How about it? This was fun.
Yeah, this one was good.
This actually did bring me back to life a little bit. It was much needed. Like, this is what... I talk about this a lot in my WrestleMania write-ups. An opening match really, really sets the tone for the show. And I feel like putting a high-energy match first in the show sets you up better for success. Because everybody is, like, excited. And, like, that adrenaline is up because you just watch this, like, high-flying show. Like, all these, like, super crazy spins and flips, whatever. And everyone's like, oh, shit, this is what we got. Let's keep going. The fact that this was... what, four matches in?
Five.
I think that, like, if this was first, if we changed up the card and made this match first, I think that we would have had a better feeling about the show.
The wildest thing about this is a good match, but, like, it's not anything crazy.
It's not.
No.
It's just two guys that are good technical in-ring wrestlers that have chemistry. Like, I don't assume that these two actually wrestled each other that often. I don't know that they would have ever. But they're just good. Like, they just jive. I think that there is something to be said about two guys that just know how to work with each other. And I think that they, like, had one conversation and they were like, you know what? Yeah, we can. This is going to work.
Our next match is the entire opposite of that. Of two people who do not like each other and almost don't want to make it work. But first, we have Shawn Michaels here to announce attendance.
Yay. Thanks, Shawn. In his big ass writing the numbers. He comes out with the card and the numbers on the card are so big that he holds the card up in, like, the medium/wide shot. And I can read the number off the card.
It's like 61,000 or something. Yeah. But our second to last match for night one is Charlotte Flair versus Tiffany Stratton.
Woof.
And yeah, it was a rough build. And, like, see, like, these two just genuinely don't like each other and don't really like working together.
Yeah.
And
there is some shoot hate here.
Yeah. And a lot of it just kind of seems to be Charlotte being like, oh, I got this. I can do whatever. And
it's funny because you even said coming out that Tiffy had some, like, boo-boo face on her.
A little bit.
You thought she was going to lose. Spoiler, she doesn't. But I think that might have just been, I don't want to fucking do this with Charlotte Flair.
Tiffany did get a nice Barbie entrance that she apparently had been like, I always imagined something like this.
That was so cool. She came out in the, like, Mattel Barbie box. That was, like, a photo op for all the the movies. Like, at movie theaters, you can do the, like, this Barbie, whatever. Yeah. You can stand in the box. So she had one of those at the top of the ring, and then two other boxes on either side of her with, like, digital versions of her. It was really cool.
Charlotte has another car entrance. I'm like, I feel like LA Knight just did this. It was kind of weird.
The car entrance. We can't do two car entrances.
Luckily, both those vehicles came out without incident.
Yeah, they didn't crash into a poor woman.
We'll talk about that later, but... And, yeah, this match starts, and these two just don't seem to have chemistry.
They don't want to play.
And, like, it looks like Charlotte just keeps sandbagging Tiffany, and... People thought Tiffany got like a tooth chipped. Like, they were both laying it in. Like,
they were not holding anything back. These two were. It was real, but not in a fun way. Not in a, like, oh, this is serious. It's a, like, fuck you kind of.
Like
way.
It just looked kind of stiff. It didn't look fun.
Yeah.
I'm someone who fucking loves Vader versus Ken Shamrock because of what a fucking, like, aggressive mess it is. Mm-hmm. But, like, this was just like. Oh, you're just, like, weirdly laying in shots.
This felt like Charlotte not wanting to play ball with Tiffany. Like, knowing that Tiffany is going to win and going to kind of take her spot as the young, hot, powerful, strong blonde on the card. I don't think Charlotte wanted to lose that spot, and she was pissed that it was happening. Like, Charlotte really hasn't been around, and she hasn't really been impressive in a couple of years. But Tiffany has.
Yeah, I mean, Tiffany's weak game is her promos now, so I could see a this kid can't hang brother kind of conversation happening at some point.
Oh, yeah, and I feel like there was a time where Charlotte really had that pull. I don't know that she has that pull anymore.
I still think she's around enough.
No, exactly.
Like, the other thing is, she was gone for over a year, but before that, I'm like, I cannot tell you what Charlotte Flair was doing before she left in December 2023.
I don't know.
But yeah, Tiffany retains, and we're like, okay, good. Like, we can...
Good. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I did not want Charlotte to win. I think I might have... Did I guess this one wrong?
No, we both picked.
We got this one right. Okay. Because I kind of could see a world where Charlotte fucking won again.
I mean, it is also a circumstance of, like, if you have Tiffany lose, it's like, oh yeah, she just isn't good enough.
Exactly. Yeah, it just buries her. But it was a good outing for Tiffany. She kind of proved that she can kind of overcome... this sandbagging match, you know, like, she could overcome that adversity and, like, still put on something passable.
And her teeth are fine.
Her teeth are fine. Yeah. It was just a bad picture, I think. Because I thought it was chipped, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was just bad video. I don't know what it was, but...
Oh, maybe she had, like, some blood and it just looked... Yeah. I don't know.
Let's move on. We get a Hall of Fame recap, but instead we get a commercial. And,
I'm not sad. We missed the Hall of Fame. We watched... as much of it as we wanted to.
So I got a couple notes just on the general Hall of Fame. Because the class itself was Triple H, Michelle McCool, Lex Luger, the Natural Disasters, and then the immortal moment of Steve Austin versus Bret Hart.
Hell yeah.
The fucking bust.
Oh my God.
And the moment of the three of them looking at it going, ooh.
Yeah, CM Punk, Steve Austin, and Bret Hart looking at this trophy statue going, what the fuck? Just, I guess, smile and wave. What the fuck is this?
And during when everybody comes out, Triple H goes to shake everyone's hand, goes to shake Brett's, and Brett's like, ugh.
Yeah, the face on Brett is like, wow, this motherfucker wants to shake my hand. Okay.
We had a mean moment because during Triple H's speech, it cut to his dad.
Oh.
And we went,
listen, those genetics are strong.
Look at that nose. That is his dad.
It was mean because, like, you could tell in the speech, from going back, you can tell in the speech that, like, the cut to his parents was warranted. We weren't really listening to the speech. They just cut to his parents. I was like, oh, that's his dad.
Yeah.
There's no denying.
Well, to be fair, most people apparently watching it weren't paying attention either. They were, like, all asleep.
Yeah. Booker T, Bianca. Who else got, like, a zoom in?
Jay got one. Now, I don't even know if you noticed this. One person was not out on the stage for the arena portion of the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no, I missed it.
Lex Luger wasn't there.
Oh.
He had previously said he was going to do something at WrestleCon that night.
So he was at WrestleCon, he wasn't at WrestleMania?
Yep.
Oh, my God. But let's talk about Lex Luger, though, because that's, like, a story that'll make you cry.
Yeah.
So in the lead up to his acceptance speech at WrestleMania Hall of Fame, he had been working with DDP to, like, get on his feet, and the goal was to be able to walk from the curtains to the microphone. And granted, it's not a long walk, but this man was partially paralyzed and he's wheelchair bound. So the fact that he can stand at all is enough. So he comes out and he's in the wheelchair and he's, I guess, I'm assuming that's his son.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So it's his son and DDP are on either side of him and they go to help him out of the wheelchair and he kind of brushes them both off and he's like, no, I'm doing this myself, man. And it was just like, really sweet. He worked so hard to be able to stand, and even says, like, he tells about the whole plan to walk from the curtains to the stage. His words, he took a bump getting out of the cab in Atlanta and they had to change the plan on the fly. Oh my god. But DDP was never further than like 2 feet away from him just in case he stumbled. Like, he was ready to catch him. That man was not falling. It just like it warms your heart. You will never catch me say anything bad about DDP. I fucking love that guy.
I thought you said Lex Luger. I'm like, yes, I will.
Oh, no. I have other feelings about Lex Luger. But DDP's, ugh, what a guy.
To lighten the serious mood here for a second. So when Steve Austin comes out to the stage, I'm like, did you only pack one shirt?
Oh, for the actual stand-up thing?
He had a beer-stained shirt the day before. And I'm like, this thing looked wrinkled and it was the exact same color.
Oh, he might have.
And I took a little note of, man, Steve Austin and Bret Hart are out there, but who's the real star? Triple H.
Hmm.
And I'm like, that feels interesting.
Who's the real winner, brother?
So with the Hall of Fame over, we are headed to the main event, but first we have more fucking ads. And Cole sounds sleepy.
Oh, I think Cole's bored too.
Oh, because they never formally check in, we didn't even note that, like, the commentary team, it's Michael Cole, Pat McAfee, and Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett's first WrestleMania that he's calling.
He was great.
Yeah, they guess they don't, like, a formally call. They do. They check in at the very beginning.
It's so late into the show, it doesn't feel like they open the show with it.
They don't open the show. But they definitely acknowledge each other, and the fact that it's Wade's first WrestleMania that he's calling, it's a big deal.
But we go to our main event. Paul on a pole. It's Roman Reigns versus CM Punk versus Seth Rollins.
The custody of Paul ladder match.
Pretty much. Seth comes out with a flamethrower.
Hell yeah. This was cool. He's wearing like a big billowy black trash bag looking thing, but he's got a big blowtorch. It looks fucking cool.
Yeah, a little less cool. His music just cuts, lights go out, and it just kind of stays there for a little while. And then his song just kind of restarts.
Lights come back. He looks like Jesus.
Yes.
He's wearing like sparkly white everything. Long hair. Spotlights on him. Looks like Christ has risen. Very Messiah.
That said, though, with the two outfits, I think it's time for a WrestleMania.
Who's that Pokemon?
I didn't prepare.
Don't worry. It's a gimmick one, Emily.
No. This is fucking shiny, isn't it?
No, he is Zekrom, then Reshiram, because they are the box art legendaries for Pokemon Black and White.
Jesus.
And it kind of works out, because one of them's fire type, so.
Hey, there you go. Is one of them Jesus type?
No, but there is a kind of a Jesus thing going on in those games.
It's Easter weekend. Christ is risen. The Monday Night Messiah is back.
We did set the over-under for entrances at 15 minutes. They went 17 and a half for the three of them.
And when did Emily fall asleep?
16 and a half. Because Roman got a pretty standard entrance for him. Punk got a This Fire Burns package.
And I saw that.
Yeah. And then they have Living Color there to perform live. And the moment I knew you were asleep is... Punk, like, gets on the apron, and Living Color just stopped playing. His entrance is not done. And I looked
this
at you.
This bothered you more than it bothered
but
me.
But I looked at you, and I went, that was weird, and you were out. And I was like, well, Emily did go rewatch this the next day.
Of course
day,
I rewatched it. Yes. I'm not going into this blind. I did not mind the music cutting and him having his moment in the quiet on the stage. Because, like, all you could hear was the roar of the crowd. It was very Punk's moment. I didn't mind it.
Yeah, this is Punk's first WrestleMania main event.
Which is crazy.
Kind of sad it's not for a title, but...
Yeah.
But of all the matches so far, this is... You can maybe make a case for Tiffany and Charlotte, but, like, this one's like, oh, yeah, this is WrestleMania. This makes sense.
Yes.
Like,
this is a rough first night card.
Especially with this first night, I'm like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. This makes sense to have main evented.
Yeah. They didn't really have a lot to choose from.
Well, Emily, the winners of the Royal Rumble always should main event. Like, you know, how they always have in history. And there's no exceptions ever.
Yep.
But on top of it having, you know, the aura, this match was great.
This was a really good match. I really enjoyed this one.
Triple threat main events fucking deliver.
They really do.
When Roman sent Rollins through the one announce table, I was like, oh, I didn't know they could break either.
They broke both tables, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
And then they set him back up on night two, too.
I know. No, this actually really did surprise me. And the ending, I really did not see coming. Like, it's rare that you either don't say, like, oh, this is the prediction for what I think is going to happen. Or I'm like, okay, this is obviously going to happen. Say what you want about you predicting it. You didn't say it out loud. So
They were hinting at it so much. I guess let's go to that. Because the general theme of this match seems to be Paul Heyman needs a fucking cigarette. He's just like,
oh my God, yeah.
But after a spot of all three men hitting their finishers, Paul Heyman has to choose between Punk and Roman. He slides a chair to Punk.
And oh my God, the look on Roman's face, that man was acting to the cheap seats. He was so sad. Cinema. Downtrodden. My heart hurt for this man. So Punk has the chair. Heyman's in the ring with him.
He goes to hit Roman and Paul low blows CM Punk.
What?
Roman then grabs a chair and works over Punk, and I went, this kind of feels like a heel turn.
I mean, yeah, but again, the look on Roman's face is like, I always knew that Paul was on my side. This is my man. This is my wise man. You could never lie to me.
Paul then sees Seth rising like in front of the ropes, and it's like, you can do the shield thing. Do it.
Yes, this is your moment. You were made for this.
I'm like, you did it last year.
We just did this, guys.
When Roman goes to swing, Paul low blows Roman and then like really moves his arm around in there.
He really wiggles it in there to make sure he gets all the balls.
Paul Heyman hands Seth Rollins the chair.
Oh.
Seth hits the shield chair shot on Roman, then stomps him and wins the night one main event.
Oh, Seth needed that win. I firmly believe that that was due. That turn, now that Seth Rollins is a Paul Heyman guy, I didn't see it coming. I thought that was awesome. That was an excellent storytelling match. That was the beautiful thing about this main event and some other matches in the next night. The storytelling. Like, that is what I love about wrestling, is being able to tell a coherent, cohesive story throughout your match. And all you really needed to tell the story in this match was those last, like, 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
When Paul Heyman starts doing the chair. That's beautiful. Perfect.
But they also did the match in a way that I wasn't going, all right, we got to wait for fucking Paul to do something.
Oh, yeah. No, there was never that moment of like, okay, Paul, come on, get involved. No, you're right.
But this was absolutely a great match.
This felt like Mania.
A great WrestleMania main event as well.
Oh, 100%.
I have to give credit to Seth Rollins because every now and again, he is very easy to just kind of get fucking tired of.
Disagree.
And then he does a match like this, because he was great here, and I go,
so good.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
I fucking love Seth Rollins. I have loved Seth Rollins since the beginning. He is my CrossFit Jesus. He's hunky, he's talented, he's funny, he's nice. Like, I like this guy. I've always been on Team Rollins, and I'm glad that he's finally gotten his due.
Yeah. But that's it for night one. A pretty big miss of a night.
Yeah.
A fucking WrestleMania 13 of a night, almost, it felt like, where it's like there's one great match and one match that
it's good.
Yeah, people will like. And kind of.
Three duds?
Yeah.
Four duds?
I wouldn't call the Fatu Knight match a dud, but I think I'd call Charlotte and Tiffany one.
Well, if you ask Ric Flair, it's the match of the night.
Yeah, I don't ask him anything.
Now, night two, though, knows how to start a show.
Well, Emily, you're correct, because the national anthem was before the show.
Exactly.
And you had feelings.
Oh my God. So Ava Max sang the national anthem. She's like a pop singer. I know she's had a song on the radio. I can't think of what it was.
It's such a porn sounding name.
That girl's hair, first of all, I don't know what was going on with her hair. It was like she had a haircut at 6:57, had to sing the anthem at 6:58. It was still like wet. It was half cut. It doesn't look like that was the main style. Somebody on here is gonna be like, oh, you don't understand fashion, whatever, this looked stupid. She sang the anthem. She was a little flat throughout. It was a little pitchy dog. Just overall not good. And then she tried to opt up at Land of the Free. Didn't quite get there.
Yeah,
flat. Just eek.
Okay, Gene was better.
Yeah, well, Gene also, he rushed fucking through it. He knew not to take his time.
So we go from that Like, ooh, not a great anthem. And then just, I think we hadn't heard in a little while. We got the heen, heen. I'm like, Jesus.
Heen, heen, heen.
And it's night two. Would you believe it, Emily? People are here.
No way.
Yeah.
No fucking
They showed
way.
Up to work.
What? Two nights in a row, though. That's crazy.
We get an opening package and a recap of night one. Stephanie McMahon welcomes us to night two. And I'm like, it's the same two people I did last year.
I mean, yeah. Come I'm on. Not mad about that. She does mention that at WrestleMania 9 in 1993, she was 16 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Gross. Her middle child now, at this WrestleMania 41, is now 16 years old. It's a cool full circle moment. It's very, like, it's very nostalgic. I didn't realize that she was backstage. Like, it makes sense. Of course she was at 9. Because, like, all the footage is of Vince with Shane. Backstage.
Yeah, I mean, she was 16, so I don't know what they would have had her doing, but like, yeah, they always had them work some random kind of odd jobs.
Yeah, it was cool.
Let's go to our opening match for night two. It is the Women's World Championship. I for some reason, I can't remember which one's on each brand. I have to do it like by the belt design.
Oh, yes. Women's World Championship.
It is champion Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair.
This was a banger of an opener.
I don't know whether it's just new fans or what, but people got so upset about Rhea Ripley being the triple threat and the way they did it story-wise. And I'm like, I know we've erased Chris Benoit, but like, this is basically the same story they did for that.
Yeah, with Shawn Michaels just inserting himself.
Yeah.
I feel like Shawn Michaels was more the Rhea Ripley of this then.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, you were talking about Chris Benoit.
No, Benoit would be the Bianca here.
Yes, yes. That match pissed me off, though, because Shawn Michaels had absolutely no business being in that match. Rhea at least has a reason to be in this match.
Shawn...
Don't defend
him. You're not going to know this, but yeah.
Nick will defend Shawn Michaels to the grave.
And everyone's like, why is everyone booing Bianca? I'm like, it's called mannerisms. She does a good amount of heel shit. It's like
no, she's actually acting like a heel.
I think it's also, she's just kind of stale as a face. I know that it is just, it feels like people are just kind of trying to get ahead of it almost. Mm. But yeah, this is a banger of a fucking match.
Banger. Absolute banger. Somebody was saying that this is the best women's match of all Mania. I don't know that they're wrong.
Yeah.
I haven't sat on it long enough and rewatched it, but oh my God. What I was saying on night one, you need an energetic, high quality match to open the show to set the tone. This is that for night two. This was excellent. What I needed Io Sky in this match to do was to show up and be like, thou shalt not fuck with me.
Yeah.
Prove to these people why I deserve to be the title holder, not these two who just keep going at each other. This is my shit. Fuck you guys. Pay attention to me. And you know, she fucking did.
Yeah, I probably should have had a stronger opinion about Io going into this match. I can't say I did. Leaving this match, though, I was like, oh my fucking God.
She deserves she fucking killed this it. Title. Oh yeah. My God. She killed it.
Yeah, and it helped that, like, the story going into this was they are overlooking her. Yes. And
do not overlook me.
Yeah.
Acknowledge me. What is the Japanese version of a tribal chief?
A kabuki warrior.
Oh. If Asuka and Kairi had come back, that would have made this the best match ever, but they didn't.
Well, I also noticed that Io goes for the braid early, but Rhea is the one who ends up getting the fucking whip shot.
We did not see an end of the night welt on Rhea. Usually, like, when Liv got hit, when Sasha got hit, Becky, they all have the fucking welts.
Rhea turned pretty good.
You heard the snap, though. Yeah.
She turned like someone would, you know?
She knew it was coming.
Yeah. But the finish of this match is, I forget if it's Bianca or Rhea, like, is going for the pin and the win, and Io just comes in with a fucking moonsault, lands on Bianca, and pins her.
Excellent.
Which, I think, it was kind of important to do, because, Bianca's kind of undefeated, she lost the Battle Royal, but are we counting that?
Yeah.
But, like, no, she got pinned, she lost this one.
Yes, she lost.
Yeah.
Rhea is still going to claim that she hasn't lost at WrestleMania, because she didn't get pinned.
Oh my God, the fucking stat at the start of this. Rhea is undefeated in world title matches at WrestleMania.
Oh, that's very specific.
Because she lost the NXT title at WrestleMania to Charlotte, who won the Royal Rumble, and it was treated like a world title at the time, but now they're retconning that because
of course.
Because it means Charlotte's won too many world titles.
Yeah. Well, she has.
Yeah. Well, basically, they would have missed the storyline.
Yeah. Neither here nor there.
Yeah, this was fucking awesome.
Excellent. I don't think match star ratings have come out yet, but this is going to be up there.
I think so. Yeah, the two triple threat matches on this show, I think, are going to be the two that everyone goes back to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
That does make it sound like the rest of the show doesn't have much. No, our next match is also really fucking good.
Night two was full of bangers. Night one was lacking bangers.
We get Drew McIntyre versus Damian Priest in a Sin City street fight, but neither man's in jeans, so...
Neither man's in jeans, and they barely left the ring. Is it a street fight?
Okay, you need to get over the street fight thing.
You need to get over that. They're breaking the rules in WCW, then.
No, because they still occasionally enforce the rules.
No. No. If you're going to tell me to get over this, you need to get over that.
Drew comes out in Doom-themed gear. Sure. And, I forget the guy's name. Damian Priest has the guitar player from Slayer, like, starting his music, but also seems like he's trying to find a chord for the first 30 seconds.
Oh, my God. What like, was going on it, with this
guitar? It comes
guitar?
In eventually.
Eventually, sure, but this guitar, I thought that it was absolutely blowing out the speakers. You're like, no, I think that they're going for that sound.
I thought it was out of tune.
It just sounded like they absolutely jacked up the amp, and it was blowing out the speaker. It sounded terrible. Yeah.
But see, I'm also realizing your issue now is they didn't leave the ringside area.
Yeah. Because
I thought the early part of this match was very just outside the ring heavy.
No, a street fight to me is you leave the ring area.
We got some gnarly stair spots in this match. And like Drew got like a cut on his back at one point. And the big spot of this match was Drew set up two tables at ringside. And you were like, all right, he who sets it up takes the bump.
Yeah,
like, no.
I was prepared.
Priest went for old school and just... Drew pushed him off and he crashed all the way down. And then Drew like brought Priest mostly in the ring and put his head up against a chair in the corner. And I was like, oh, well, of course he's going to miss. Oh my God, you killed him.
Oh my God. Yeah. That he looked like he was absolutely done.
Yeah.
Absolutely dead. And you posted the gif of like, oh my God, the prick killed that guy.
But yeah, this ended up being a pretty good match for something that when it was initially like teased, I was like, this kind of sucks. And I'm like, oh, no, it actually ended up being good at a hell of a finish.
Oh my God, hell of a finish. I'm not a Damian Priest fan, but this was a really good match. It held my attention throughout. I think it's just also because I really love Drew McIntyre. But it was really great. This is a lot of fun. Again. Yeah,
he deserved a big win.
He did. He really needed a big win too.
We're going to move on to the IC title four-way. It is champion Bron Breakker versus Finn Balor, or as Tron says, Finbler.
Finbler.
Versus Dominic Mysterio versus Penta.
This is pretty cool, too.
But Emily has, I don't say, I guess, hot takes on Penta.
Ugh, what are my hot takes?
That you just don't get it?
You're right, I don't get it. I don't get the hype for Penta. I'm a luchador fan. I think he's just doing too much. And I think I'm going to get crucified for saying that. But I think he's doing too much.
Three out of the four of these men come out in masks. We were ready for Braun. He didn't.
Braun did not come out in a mask. He really missed out.
You were really hoping for like at least like the chainmail.
Yeah, that would have been perfect. Some sort of headgear. I would have been like, you know what? Fair.
Do you have anything to say about Steiner Math?
Oh my God. Oh my God. So I think I was in the bathroom or something. You texted me. You're like, Emily, he's doing Steiner Math. And I was like, no fucking way.
You were at work, I think.
It was so fucking good. And there was a moment before he started. I think it must have been Pat was saying, like, here are your stats for WrestleMania. How do you think you're going to do? There's a guy in the audience that yells, what are the odds? And that starts the whole thing. He basically does a perfect impression of Scott and just basically does the entirety of Steiner Math, but with current day people. And it was excellent.
So this match starts off very fast paced. So fast that, like, Carlito is suddenly here at one point.
Yeah. Where does Carlito come from?
I don't know.
He just appears.
But fucking Bron Breakker's so good.
Oh my God, I fucking love Bron Breakker. Like, aside from Steiner Math, aside from just him being him, I love him. I love his moveset. I love his power. His fucking spears. Like, I want to be speared by Bron Breakker. He looks so good. I would die, but I would die happy.
So in a spot that I think is supposed to get heel heat, Dom turns on Finn Balor first before Finn turns on him. Mm-hmm. The crowd is just into Dom.
Why is the crowd into Dom so much? That's another one I don't get.
I mean, I think some of it is just like hey, he deserves a big moment because he's been doing really good fucking work over the last like 2 years. And
sure.
You haven't given him, I guess you gave him, he gets to make out with Liv Morgan, yeah, but that's it.
That's the win. No, and you did even point out, like, he is a good wrestler when he's given the opportunity. Much like Naomi, like, you have to give him the opportunity to be good. I don't know.
I saw a photo, a friendly reminder that Dom's wife is taller than him. During this match, we got a fucking super spear of Carlito standing on one announce table and Braun jumping from one to the other. And if you didn't watch the show, it's on the normal announce tables, like right next to each other. There's a good fucking gap in between here. Yeah,
there's probably like 4 or 5 feet in between.
But to finish this match, Finn Balor hits the coup de grace on Braun Breaker and goes for the pin. And Dominic Mysterio hits a frog splash on Finn Balor and pins Finn.
And he wins. It was a good frog splash, too. Like, again, Dom looked good.
Which, it has been noted, is the same finish as the triple threat, but it's fine. You know, it's fine.
Whatever.
It's
shut
fine.
Up. Let it go. Shut up. It was good.
Yeah,
this
good. Every clean finish is also technically the same as the other finish.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Shut up.
This was a lot of fun, and the crowd was so into Dom. Like, he went back for like another fucking curtain call.
Yeah. He, like, was walking down with the title and then runs back into the ring after everybody cleared past Finn, which just seemed like an extra fuck you.
We all thought the Judgment Day was ending last year. Maybe this year we're finally going to...
I didn't. You did.
But yeah, Dominic Mysterio is now the IC champion. And
I can't wait to see Braun Breaker destroy this kid.
Yeah.
He is going to be broken in half, and it's going to be great.
I need Braun to pull a Rhino where it's like, all right, we're going to do a new set, so we're going to have you spear Dom through the current set.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
But let's move on. We have our Randy Orton Open Challenge.
And oh my God.
There's a lot of speculation about who's going to be. Rusev's name kept getting chanted. I mean,
Rusev was the obvious one.
The problem is you needed somebody who could lose and it wouldn't matter because you needed Randy to get the win.
Yeah, you're right. We couldn't have made Rusev lose on Rusev Day. That would have been pretty rude.
Well, you just don't bring him back and immediately have him lose.
I think you can bring him back and have him lose, but the fact that he would have lost on Rusev Day, like, that just tarnishes the name of Rusev Day.
But the reason for the open challenge is that Randy Orton was supposed to be Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens needs to have, I think major neck surgery.
He's got a broken freaking neck.
I don't know when the hell he's going to be back. It does not sound like anytime soon.
No.
But Emily, who is here to answer the call?
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry.
Yeah, it's TNA champion Joe Hendry.
Which is fucking bonkers. Like, you were having a hard time wrapping your head around that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I can't imagine. Like, it's even 2010. What, are you going to have fucking Rob Van Dam as world champion go end of the Rumble? Like,
yeah. I always had a feeling that it was going to be him because he was all over Vegas at WrestleCon. He was at the Rumble. He did his whole thing at the Rumble. But his entrance for this... beautiful. I love his stupid little turnaround move. Yeah. It's so simple, but I love it. This match did not overstay its
welcome. Do you love it because it's similar to like the Hurricane?
Oh, absolutely not. No. I love his goofy little smile. It's so memed on social media. Like, it's all over TikTok. It's very fun.
That said, this match goes 3 minutes.
That's exactly how long it is.
I know. It's like it was all about the pop.
Yeah.
Like,
this went exactly as long as it needed to go.
Yep, because the finish of the match is Joe Hendry hits the Hendry pose and eats an RKO for basically out of camera.
Hell yeah.
Randy Orton wins, and then they do the respect spot, and it's the Scorpion and the Toad, and just Randy Orton has to hit another RKO, and then he does the Joe Hendry pose, but with the big Legend Killer arm pose.
So good. You could tell that the camera was ready for it, too, because as he's standing back to camera, the zoom happens before he's ready to hit the pose.
Yeah. I think they managed to make a bit of fun out of just a shit situation.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it gets another guy over. Like, Joe Hendry coming in, there was nothing bad that came out of that. Like, no ill will, no shots fired, like, we're all happy.
It could be said that maybe having another company's world champion losing in 3 minutes isn't the best look, but I almost think you could have a heel in TNA make a good point of that, being like, you were on the biggest stage and you fucking embarrassed us. And
yeah.
Because, like, I mean, look, I don't care. Yeah. But, like, in the kayfabe, like, okay, like, you can do something with that.
And I think that Joe Hendry did not embarrass himself. He looked good.
Oh, no.
He looked good. Like, he did some good moves. Like, he got some offense. It's not like he just went in and laid down.
Yeah.
He looked good.
Well, yeah, just a bit of fun. Nothing too crazy. We have 3 matches left. Our next match... I had a hard time getting into.
Yeah.
It was AJ Styles versus Logan Paul.
Yeah, I think the appeal of Logan Paul is dwindling.
Yeah, I mean, appeal is a strong word. I think we're over the novelty, I think, is more what it is.
Yeah.
Because for a while, I was like, oh, man, he's so good. And then I'm just, like, the more I see him, I'm like, yeah, he's good. But, like, he's not super doing anything that somebody else isn't.
Right. And he's also part-time still.
Yeah.
He's not around building stories and creating these, you know, storylines. He doesn't ever feel, like, worthy of his matches. And he's always at WrestleMania now. I don't know. I don't feel like he's earning it anymore.
Not to bury one of your boys, but, like, I don't really feel like if you put him in a match versus, like, Ludwig Kaiser, I don't think it's going to be that different a quality of match. I mean, it's kind of a compliment in both, an insult to both men, because I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a good match. It's fine, but, like, listen, we have a guy who can kind of...
We have Logan Paul at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This match, like, it also kind of highlighted that I'm kind of over AJ Styles, too. I've never really been a huge fan of AJ Styles.
Yeah, I think we all need to have a conversation about his WWE run. I'm glad
you're finally seeing the light.
Yeah. Like, look, there's some great moments early on, but I feel like more often than not, I am let down by his matches. And I think it's not a fair standard that we've all set.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all saw him in 2007 doing crazy shit and went, oh, you can do that almost 20 years later, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
All that being said, fuck Logan Paul.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I've never been on the pro Logan Paul. Like, he's a good wrestler. He has good skill in the ring. Fuck that guy, though. His entrance was kind of lame. He fucking vlogged on a drone coming out.
Yeah.
Kind of lame. Little cringy, brother.
We didn't get a Prime bottle this year, but...
No.
I think it also didn't help that usually at WrestleMania each year, we get one match that it's like... The people in it, like it feels a little like self-aggrandizing, where I'm like, this match isn't that big a deal. And this one kind of felt like that, where, like, they wanted it to be a much bigger deal than it was.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And I'm like, no, this... You guys should have been aiming for, like, LA Knight, Chicken Fatu level, and you aimed for Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins level.
Underwhelmed by this one, to say the least.
Logan hit an alley-oop.
Okay.
Some random prick from... I forget his fucking name.
Just, I don't know his name. Is some guy in Logan's entourage.
He's always trying to get in the videos. But I don't fucking care.
I don't know. He comes out with brass knuckles.
I feel the same way about almost everybody on a Pat McAfee show, too.
I don't know who you are. I don't care. Yeah. No, so this guy comes out. He has brass knuckles to give to Paul. And I can't say Paul because we have like 17 Pauls to give to Logan. And he goes to reach to give them to Logan. He gets stopped. Arm out of the corner of the screen just grabs him.
How'd you not see him?
I didn't see him.
No, I'm saying the guy.
It was a
man
cool.
Walked up to you and you went, Karrion Kross, who has been like the devil on everyone's shoulder.
Oh, has that been his thing?
Yes.
Okay.
He has also been doing a thing that people pointed out and he went, yes, thank you all for noticing. Where, in a good way, where anytime he was trying to appeal to somebody, he like did his hair a little different to like look more like them.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. That's psychological.
He also cut a hell of a probably worked shoot promo
Was he part of the bad PR week that was WrestleMania week?
No. This was afterwards. This is like today.
Oh, Jesus.
Talking about like fuck Logan Paul and like AJ let us all down. Like it was more about like him being pissed about not being on the card and
yeah, that's fair.
He has some choice words for some people and it's like, look, either it's a worked shoot or we're gonna see he's fired tomorrow.
Yes. We'll see if he's on Raw.
Yeah.
No, so he stops What's-His-Face from giving Logan the brass knuckles, grabs the knuckles from What's-His-Face. So on ringside, he tries to appease AJ to be like, dude, you gotta use these. You gotta put this little motherfucker in his place. Put these on. Just hit him once, please. The devil on his shoulder. I didn't realize that's what he was doing, but yeah, that makes sense. AJ, of course, takes the knuckles, throws them away.
Throws them away because I'm like... He, like, spiked him in the ground. I'm like, oh, man, I hope they didn't need to be part of the finish because I don't know where the fuck they bounced.
They're gone.
Yeah, AJ refuses, gets in the ring, hits the knockout punch and the pulverizer. Where the fuck?
Yeah, sure. We've all got fun little move names now.
Yeah. So Logan Paul wins.
It was funny. As soon as he threw the knuckles, you were just like, oh, he ain't winning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yay, Logan wins. Yay.
Not in reality, the match was fine.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Didn't need to be here.
Admittedly, part of me was like, you know what? I should rewatch it today to give it a fairer chance.
Yeah, you did say.
And then I thought about it and I went, I don't wanna. And that's
telling in itself. Yeah. This is probably the worst match of night two.
Somebody had the sad tweet of AJ Styles' best WrestleMania match is still against Shane McMahon.
Ooh, what year was that?
That is 33. Actually, it is a pretty smash.
Yeah, we shit on Shane McMahon. He's not a bad wrestler. He's fun. He's fun.
Depending on the year. Yeah, we have two matches left. Our next match is another change. Yeah, I realized three matches on this card had last minute changes.
Oh, yeah.
It is for the women's tag team titles, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Lyra Valkyria and Bayley. Except, sorry, not Bayley.
Bayley got quote unquote injured at SmackDown or backstage at SmackDown. She got attacked. They wrote her off for no good reason. And I really want to hear their reasoning.
Because they wanted Becky to come back. Because Becky probably agreed. I've seen some comparisons to Hogan. And I'm like,
I don't want Becky Lynch to be Hogan.
It's not entirely fair, but it.
Spoiler. Becky Lynch returns, and she is Lyra Valkyria's partner for this.
The Irish lasses.
The Irish lasses. Irish.
I don't really have anything to say. I just want to, I'll just take a moment to just Liv Morgan celebrating WrestleMania weekend.
Listen. She pulled off that dress, I tell you what.
So, Lyra Valkyria's entrance and gear were funny. Because she has the whole bird thing. Bird. So there's your bird.
She's not a bird.
And she got big old hairdo going on.
Bird.
With the and then has the wings.
Bird.
She goes to hug Becky and just still has the wings on. And it's just like.
Wait, because the wings are her arms. Yeah. They're not like costume wings attached to her shoulders or something. They are her arms. So she does the big bird hug around.
I did see that compared to Always Sunny Birds of War.
Oh, no.
But then she takes off the rest of her, you know, accoutrement, if you will.
Her bird.
And she still has the big hair with just like nice gear, but kind of normal looking gear. And I went, oh, this just doesn't look right.
It doesn't match anymore.
And she like feathers like have fallen out during the match.
Oh, yeah. There were feathers all over the ring. There were also roses all over the ring. We didn't mention from Bianca's hair early in the night. She had like three or four roses into her braid and they fell out immediately.
This match was a bit clunky at points.
It was clunky. It wasn't the best. Honestly, I really don't know what happened to Raquel Rodriguez. That thing happened in Australia last year with her makeup, and she just hasn't been the same since. Like, I don't know. She's lost it for me.
Yeah, I think there may also just kind of be an element of, I don't want to call her lazy, just kind of lack of effort, but it's like, they're not doing a ton with her, and I imagine it's hard to be motivated at your job when they're not, you know, when you're clearly the fourth or fifth fiddle in your group, like.
Yeah, her story is absolutely uninspired, so it's probably hard for her to find motivation. But.
Someone counted, apparently Becky took two bumps in this match.
Really? That's it?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, it's basically building a hot tag to Becky. Lyra and Becky end up winning the titles, and so Lyra is a double champion, because she's the IC champion. I guess I can't rule out that anything happened during the, I guess, when we got commercials, but like US champion Chelsea Green was nowhere on this show. No. There were no backstage interviews.
Nothing.
Like no skits, no nothing.
Which is kind of a shame.
Yeah.
She deserves better than that. Overall, a fine match. I don't feel the need to go back and rewatch this one either. I think this is better than the Styles Paul match. It's
different flavors.
Yeah, I think I'm just biased.
But start calling her Lyra Two Belts. I'm like, that does not flow.
Lyra Two Belts.
I do still feel bad for Bayley, because especially lately, she has been working her fucking ass off.
Yes, she has. She did not deserve that.
Which, I just realized, we advocated that, like, hey, the SmackDown tag match should have been on, it was the Raw tag match.
Mm-hmm.
If that had been the case, everyone on Dropout's wrestling D&D show would not have been on Mania.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Because, yeah, it is New Day, it is Chelsea, and Bayley.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see if this turns into a heel turn or what for Bayley, or does she just kind of come back and be like, yep, it's all
fine. I
hope
it does something. Or she leaves and she goes to AEW and pairs back up with Mercedes Moné. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. We didn't get our incident of the night.
Our incident? Oh, right.
Steve Austin comes out on a quad bike and crashes into the fucking barricade.
Mm-hmm.
And someone takes a bump. If you look at the footage, mm-hmm. he crashes a good bit and then she falls.
And then a woman falls, yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly, Nick Khan and somebody else like ran over to her. To, like,
oh, yeah, they are over there.
Yeah.
But also, Austin goes, "You good?" And they go, "Yeah."
All right.
So we'll see if we are seeing them at SummerSlam when we go.
Yeah, seriously. All the tweets were like, "This woman's getting free WWE tickets for life." So Steve Austin comes out and he's doing the count and the attendance for night two. I don't know why we need to keep doing this where they add up both night one and night two to be like, "Oh, we've had 120,000 people." No. You just had 60,000 people come twice. That's what this is. So he does that, but he comes out and does the whole little bit of like, oh, this number, I feel like it's wrong, so I'm going to start counting. And so he counts like, I think, 10. And around 5 or 6, people start going, 6, what? 7, what? 8? And I'm just like, okay, enough. That's kind of it. It wasn't a huge segment. He doesn't even really like, he does crack a beer, I think. I don't know.
Yes, I saw a joke of like, well, see, now if he gets breathalyzed, you can't prove he was drunk beforehand.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, this was just get Steve Austin on the card.
Yeah. And that brings us to our drumstick main event.
Jesus Christ.
For the WWE title, it is John Cena versus Cody Rhodes. And I don't know if this was drumstick related, but Cody Rhodes just has people on dirt bikes come out to the stage.
Oh, it's a Vegas show.
But they didn't do any like, cool jumps or anything. They just literally showed up and went, we're here.
Know. I think that's just an allusion to a Vegas show that is like on right now.
Yeah, I wanted, because like, they were like doing a ramp thing. I'm like, oh, it'd be cool if you're like doing tricks and shit in the background. Yeah,
I think maybe that's what they wanted them to do, and then they just couldn't find a way to do it safely. I don't know.
Cody has like an Iron Man helmet kind of thing going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, the skull helmet, but like pops open the eyes.
And I've seen mixed opinions on this. The now heel John Cena comes out. It is just like a almost blank Titantron, just his name, like white text on a black background.
I liked it. No frills.
Yeah, I liked it too.
I think it was excellent. He's got the black gear. He's got the black towel. Like, if you've missed anything, John Cena, bad guy.
Yeah, people keep wanting, like, oh, we got to do this big extravagant thing. And I'm like, nope.
I did kind of think that they were going to do something with all of his gear colors, like lining the ring of, like, or lining the ramp of him coming down, like, past all of the past iterations of himself. They'll probably save that for his last pay-per-view, I guess.
He's also done an entrance similar to that.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, WrestleMania 25. He has a. It's not over the years, but it is a run past a series of John Cena's.
Oh.
So it might feel a little similar to that. This match is, I think, strange is maybe the nicest word. Cause
I've got a different word.
John Cena just works like an old school heel, and it seems to be like. That's what they want. Like, they want the novelty of, oh my God, he's wrestling like a heel. He's like cheating. He's doing eye pokes. And I'm like, okay, guys, but you got to pick it up from there.
It doesn't pick up. It's just slow.
I think I had the realization of why this match doesn't work. Or, like, maybe not the exact reason, but like something about it that I went, oh, yeah, shit. Was there a single John Cena kickout you were surprised of?
There was nothing in this match that I was surprised of.
Well, there's at least some spots where it's like, oh, John could beat Cody Rhodes here. Minus when they do the ref bump, there is not a single John Cena kickout where I'm like, oh, fuck, Cody may win.
No, that's true.
There's no suspense with that.
I think that was the problem throughout. I think, like, I was hopeful that Cena would not win here. I still do believe, honestly, that Cody's time was cut short. Like, yes, he was the champion for a year. I think he had more to do. I don't think that it was his time to not be champion anymore. We are back in the era of long champion reigns. So I was under the impression that maybe, you know, good would triumph over evil. It just kept punching me in the face instead of like, oh, you fucking thought? Loser? Idiot? Whatever? What? Who? Why wouldn't John Cena win? It became back to like, fucking lol, Cena wins. Like, obviously he was going to win this.
Yeah, his STF is still shit, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking lost in the wins era. I'm like, oh, my God, man. Got to tighten that up.
Ugh. It was really disappointing. It was boring. I did not fall asleep during this match, and I wanted to go to bed so badly. I stood up. I was like on the floor playing with the dog. I was like, anything I could do to keep myself awake. And I'm just like, I'm not even tired. I'm just bored.
And I think we kind of mentioned during the last main event that it's like, that one didn't feel like, oh, we're waiting for Paul to do something. This one felt like, well, we're waiting for The Rock to show up.
100%. He doesn't.
No, he is not here. Apparently, when he said he was in Hawaii, he was telling the truth.
I really thought that was a work because there's this whole thing. When I was in middle school, I lived in Hawaii. I'm a military kid. And there's a thing in Hawaii where the airline, Hawaiian Airlines, has like a partnership with Las Vegas. And a lot of people from the islands go to Las Vegas. So much so that it's become like cultural terminology for Vegas to be deemed the 9th Hawaiian island. So when The Rock tweeted, oh yeah, dude, I'm in Hawaii. I'm on the islands. I'm like, is he pulling me here?
I just figured that was an older photo. Admittedly,
I mean that too. But if he says it, like, could you be like, oh, I wasn't lying?
But we do get the ref bump, and then we get some music.
Refs are glass.
And the music hits.
Bean.
I'm like, yeah, it's fucking Travis Scott.
Of all of the people to interfere in this match, this is the worst choice.
Well, I figured it was even the same thing it was at the fucking Elimination Chamber.
I was worried.
Elimination Chamber, where it's like he comes out and The Rock comes out with him. I'm like, No, it's just him with this world's slowest fucking run in.
Oh my God. Yeah, he takes his fucking time. But I remember at Elimination Chamber, we were all like, get this man off of television. He doesn't get it. He's going to hurt somebody. And he's just smoking weed in the ring. Like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, he is just generally a piece of shit. Like,
yeah.
I was trying to look into the fucking Astroworld thing.
I'm like, yeah, everybody seems to have forgotten the Astroworld bullshit.
There's plenty of other shit, too. Mm-hmm. Like, him going, hey, just trample people and storm it. Like, yeah, it's going to go over great at WWE show.
Yeah, right? No, he's a piece of shit. He is. And, like, don't come at me of like, oh, he's just hip-hop. You don't understand hip-hop. I like hip-hop music. I actually do. I like Tyler, the Creator. I like Chance. No, I like
Kendrick. He's from that fucking Conor McGregor cloth of just an asshole who just thinks he can just, like physically fight or pay his way at anything.
Yes, the pay part. 100% that. I think that's why we don't hear about Astroworld anymore. He threw enough money at it that we're never going to hear about it again.
There's a couple other incidents.
Yeah, probably.
So, he comes out. He does not get the receipt from Cody I really wanted. Like, oh, he's a crossroads.
It's
like,
not.
And then Cody has to do the thing of like, get the fuck out of the ring.
Oh my God, yeah. He sells this crossroads so hard that he just like sandbags again. And Cody has to physically push him out of the ring.
Should have fucking booted him.
Should have. Give him a black eye. Fuck him.
So finish this match. John Cena hits Cody with the WWE title. Then throws the title out of the ring. Goes to get the ref. Oh, you fucking Triple H Booker T people, where are you on this one?
Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying. No, that's a better match than this.
Admittedly, I think if he had hit one more AA, I would have looked in this match a little more favorably.
You think so?
Slightly. But yeah, he just wins on this weird delay and everything feels off.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not a big final move. We talked about like the wrong lessons learned from Daniel Bryan. This felt like the wrong lessons learned from WrestleMania 17.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Where it's like, oh, he doesn't win with the stunner, he wins with the chair. It's like he wins with the WWE title, and now for the 17th time, world champion, John Cena, and
it doesn't feel deserved. It doesn't feel earned. It doesn't even if I would have been fine with this if this came after a good match.
Yeah,
this was just a shit match. I'm on board with heel Cena. I think heel Cena is a cool way to end his career. This is a shitty match to go out on.
This almost just kind of felt like, all right, let's get this one out of the way because we want to have him win. But, you know, he'll win. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just underwhelming. I said to you this morning that this match reminded me of Hogan and The Rock at 18.
Mm-hmm.
But what if the crowd wasn't as hot?
Yes.
Because also the crowd was into Cena, much like that crowd is into Hogan. But what if the crowd didn't carry the match into becoming legend status and they just kind of petered out?
That. I think it was that too. Because what also kept happening in this match was Cena would do a move and then he would showboat and expect the crowd to be like hot for him. And then do another move and showboat and then another and show.
A little bit. I think some of it was also because he does like his comeback sequence and he does it slow on purpose. And I think it's not meant to elicit cheers. It's actually meant to be like, no, I'm not doing it the old way.
But that still requires the crowd to be in on it.
Yeah.
Have some reaction. It was just, I don't want to say quiet because it was never quiet, but it was not the pop that it needed to be to carry this.
Yeah. And I think this is always uphill battle because I, admittedly, call it a year ago, who was like, oh man, I can't wait for Cody versus John Cena. Like, that's not a dream match.
No. I don't know who keeps saying this is a dream match.
Yeah.
Did it feel like a dream match to those people? Was this what you wanted? Well, did you get your dream?
To be fair, night one main event was a dream match for you because you were asleep.
It was a dream match. I was very sleepy. I was honk-shoeing my way. I literally woke up when they grabbed the chair.
Yeah.
I slept through the boring part of the match and I saw the finish. That's all I needed.
So, yeah, we'll see what John has to say because his plan is to ruin wrestling. And hey, if you're going to involve Travis Scott a lot more, because apparently Travis Scott's like, yeah, this is my main job now. I'm like,
yo, really?
We'll see about that.
Fuck that. Yeah. Get this guy out of here.
Yeah. Ugh. I don't even care about the fucking, he's like, oh, he's skinny, whatever. I'm like,
oh, I don't care about his build.
I'm like, no, Logan Paul is already filling the piece of shit I don't want on my TV fucking role.
And the thing is, like, we have proven that we can bring a celebrity into the show and they can put on a good match. Bad Bunny set the bar for celebrities or like different tiers of celebrity musicians, whatever, what actors to come in and do something great at WrestleMania. I'm not against that.
No, this
I'm just against him coming in and doing what he fucking did at Elimination Chamber.
Now, this just feels like, hey, you ordered Dennis Rodman on Wish.
Ooh, buddy, that's a burial.
I mean, you have Cena as Hollywood Hogan. Mm. Here's your fucking celebrity friend to do tag matches.
Jesus.
And, well, that's WrestleMania, man. Yeah, it's night two was so good, and then it just sours you right at the fucking. If the triple threat had fucking main evented night two,
I think we would have gone home happy and been like, yeah, this is a great Mania. No, this fucking sucked. It didn't suck entirely, but it, I think it tells got how like much a the main 60%? Event makes or break.
Yeah, makes worse the show. I don't know about you. I'd put this whole WrestleMania somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, pretty mid. But like last year, 40, that's like top five. And I think that like some bias of us being there will absolutely carry over. But
other people agreeing with, yeah, other people saying that, I'm like, okay, we're not alone.
It was a good match. It was a good show. Night one and two, that was a good show. This kind of sucked.
Like this, if you mix and match it, could have been spread out to have two highs great and shows.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, I think half of the complete show is good and half the complete show is in terms of aggressively bad, that's much, you know, lesser. What?
I think they had the perfect amount of matches to do one night of WrestleMania. If they had cut this down to one night, I think this would have been a great Mania.
Oh, so you're saying we should have done all 14 matches on one WrestleMania?
That's not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying cut.
Yeah.
Definitely. Charlotte does not need her moment.
Well, then Tiffany doesn't get hers either.
No, and that sucks.
Hey, SummerSlam's going to two nights.
I know. Everything's going to two nights.
Now, I am calling it now. If SmackDown ever moves from Fridays, you're going to start hearing rumblings of three nights.
Jesus Christ.
I think it's the only reason they're not doing it.
That's insane.
And I'd love to cover the roast of WrestleMania, but they were like, nope, no phones. You don't get to do it.
Oh, there were no phones.
No phones.
I was expecting you to like send me a live stream or something today.
No, but no, I don't think anyone said anything that would get them fired. But apparently, Pat McAfee showed up high and didn't tell any jokes.
Didn't tell any jokes?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
But with all that, Emily, you know, it's not a mainline episode, but let's drop our best bit, worst bit, and MVP. I guess the bits have to be matches because there's no other fucking
there's
bits
no
in these
other
show.
Bits. Yeah. I mean, I have an answer for all three of these. All
right. I wonder if we're going to line up, but what is your best bit?
My best bit's the women's triple threat.
Okay. I'm going with the men's triple threat.
That's valid. That is entirely valid and very fair.
But yeah, I think that those are the two best matches. Yeah, that's the options, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Not to undercut El Grande Americano and Rey Fenix or like not. Drew and Priest. Like, there's some good stuff, but like those are just a cut above.
Oh, I agree.
Emily, what is your worst bit?
Jay and Gunther.
Yep, that's what I got as well.
That just sucked. It sucked the life out of me. I don't get Jay. I never will. You did my boy Gunther dirty. I don't know.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that. I mean, honorable mention just for Travis Scott. Like, ugh. I'm annoyed with The Rock not being there, especially because apparently they sold Rock merch specifically for Vegas.
Did they?
Yep.
That's fucked.
But like, yeah, The Rock should have been there. He fucked it, whatever. Yeah, the fact that it's like, oh yeah, you just get Travis Scott. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Also, honor mention to the theme. But
yes.
Yeah, Jay and Gunther just set the whole night off on the wrong fucking foot. I shouldn't leave your match going, wait, was that guy hurt?
Yeah, it felt like they went home early.
Like, you better be hurt.
To make that match, like, make sense, yeah. Gunther tapping out that quickly, that buries him. That makes him look bad.
All right, Emily, finally, who is your MVP?
I feel like I know who you're going to give it to, and I think you should know who I'm going to give it to.
I think I know who you're going to give it to, and I think I agree.
Io Sky?
Yeah.
Ah!
I think Io Sky... She defended the title last year. I don't think I thought much of it. She's a fucking star. Yeah.
She is a star. 100%. That girl is zooming to the top.
Who'd you think I was going to give it to?
Oh, CM Punk.
No. He was good. If anything, I was debating giving it to Seth in the match, but Io Sky, absolutely crushed fucking stand-up performance of the weekend.
Hell yeah. What a star.
Oh, but that's going to do it for our brief chat here, talking about WrestleMania.
Just a quick little chat.
If you want to listen to any of our previous WrestleManias, you can do that all our back catalog, everywhere podcasts are found, except for SoundCloud. If you want to see what we live tweeted during that WrestleMania, or just want to catch up with us over on social media at Butts in the Pod or the Butts States Podcast. We also have our Patreon. Emily's at the halfway point, kinda, of her WrestleMania write-ups of WrestleMania 21.
Yes, I just finished 21. I just posted that. I also will have a new episode of our Patreon podcast over there. Dropped Monday. I just dropped an episode with a new vibe. We went to the library and we got some books in our seats. And we did a little book report.
Yes, Controversy Creates Cash. Over,
sure does.
Available over on patreon.com/buttsintheseats, as well as most of the TNA Monday Night War, which we will be resuming shortly, sure. But gotta finish this damn book first.
Yeah, for real. $5 a month. It gets you a lot of stuff over there.
Emily, any closing thoughts before we end our brief chat?
I'm disappointed.
Well, hey, maybe Rusev will show up tonight.
Oh, God, I hope so. It is Rusev Day.
If anything super crazy happens on Raw, you'll hear it right after this. But
yeah.
But if the file ends in about 10 seconds, that'll do it for this episode of the Butts and Seats Podcast. I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts and Seats Podcast.
Bye.